What, that's like the kiss of death, you know. This guy's going to be so great. Oh. Anyway, thank you for having me here. It's a real privilege to be here. I was here this morning. A lot of younger people here tonight. Not all, some are not so young. But, so the, you know, to keep the balance right, I was just thinking, Ross, you know when someone introduces you and they say nice things, and you're not sure if it's, you feel, I wonder if he just feels he has to do that, or if he really feels like that, you know, because I'm at that age now where I get to go to more funerals than, you know, birthday parties, a little bit, hey? And you always find that at like a funeral where they're talking about the person who's passed, and you're wondering, I wonder if I'm in the wrong place, you know? Then you go check in the car. No, it's the same guy. Ooh. And maybe the goal for some of us is that we'd like some of the things that are said about us at our funeral to be true. Anyway, it's a real privilege to be here and speak to you tonight. Some of you may know who I am. I've been doing comedy for many, many years, as well as other things. I'm also a father of 4 children. I'm married. A lot of the younger people will probably recognize me from the Spud movies where I play Spud's dad. Some people think I am Spud's dad. You know that awkward conversation with people who just haven't really figured out the reality, you know, where's Spud? I'm like, nah, I don't know. You know, in the movie, like, nah, he's old now. He lives in Australia. He's like a superstar. He's, oh yeah. Where's your car? I say, no, I don't, that's not my car. I just was using it for the filming, you know. But Spud, where does he stay with you still? I'm like, yes, he's at home doing homework. No, but I can't bother him, you know what I mean? He's just eventually, people aren't prepared to believe that you actually, it's quite funny when you see people from soap operas and on the street, people are like shouting and swearing at them. Because they think that they are the people that they portray. Shame. We're not. We're not the people we portray. And I'd like to start off today by, this is the last in the installment around marriage. And tonight I chose to talk about power, how we use our power or the power dynamic in marriage. And now, can I just see how many of you are married, if you don't mind me asking? Oh, it's quite a few. All right. You know, I can't tell these days who's like 15 and who's 30. You know, when you get to my age, everyone looks young. But not everyone. But quite a few people. I don't know why I keep looking over there in the same section. But I had this experience a short while ago where all I want to say is, if you are married, look after your wife. I'm almost tempted to say, don't let your wife pass. Like we talked about a funeral. Don't let your wife die. No matter how you think it might be nice, it won't be nice, guys. It will not be nice at all. My wife, at the end of last year, got sick for a week. Well, it was actually only for really 2 days, but it felt like a week. And I've got 4 kids, as I said, and I had to take over all the duties of my wife for those days. And it was right at the end of the year, and those of you will know, it's when school is ending. My daughter is very involved in dance. She's on the mom's committee also, so involved with the matrix at that time, and moms who pray. And anyway, she said, just gave me a bag. She was very sick. Just go to you. And so I thought, I'll get there early. I arrived at 7. Mom's committee said, where's Lisa? I said, no, I'm Lisa. Now, I've met all those ladies before on the mom's committee or whatever, and they were so nice to me before. But suddenly they weren't that nice, guys. I can't lie. They were actually they were quite scary. Where were you? You're supposed to be here an hour ago. We're putting up the table, putting the wine out for the teachers who are leaving and the color-coordinated thank you cards and the kids are getting changed, the makeup. She normally does the thing. I'm like, whoa, I just arrived here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I was shocked at the expectations of what my wife was expected to know. Now, if you're married, let me tell you guys, this is a problem. they are capable of dealing with 17 things at the same time, and I'm battling to remember who these people are. I don't even know them. You know, I was really struggling, and I felt so completely out of my depth. And you realize that they, like, sometimes the ladies dumb things down for us when we're with a wife, but when you've literally taken on the role of your wife, whoa, guys. It's like waking up one morning and suddenly you're playing for the Springboks. You know, you're not ready for that. You're playing prop for the Springboks and you've never played rugby in your life. I mean, this is so hectic. I literally was like, I felt like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking competition. I literally was, I was frightened. I know I'm not making this up, but I came back. I was like, oh, I could never do that to me again. These people are hectic, you know? And you realize that the expectations are different. That I wasn't completely aware of that until that moment. Hey, in other words, life can be challenging. In fact, life will be challenging. A lot of young people here, let me just tell you something that you probably think you know, but I want you to know. Trouble is coming. There's no avoiding it. And if you don't believe me, listen to Jesus. In this life, you will have trouble. There it is. Not some of you who are naughty. No, all of you. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. And whether you're married or not, you're also going to have trouble. But much better together. Much better. Let me give you a shame. Some of you are thinking, am I really married? Let me just show you a picture of my wife and me. Just, why don't you bring the photo up? Woo, that's my wife right there. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm here all day. Thank you. For most of my life, I've had people going, is this your wife? I say, yeah. They're like, oh. How are you? Hey, you got money? I said, no. So I said, nah, I just made her laugh. And when she stopped laughing, she realized she was pregnant. No. No, don't clap. Don't clap for that, please. Don't clap. That is a joke. Please believe me, that is not a... It never happened. I was married before we had children, but a little bit like that, you know, see... You got to use your charm. Charm what you got. Use what you got. You know what I mean? I'm not really a looker. I've never been the guy who woman went, oh, they always went, oh. Until they got to know you. And then, you know, it's a little bit better. That's also why the good Lord gave us wine. But I want to go into a few things. I see, you can see this is the last service. You can't kick me out, so I'm letting everything out now. But I want to share some things with you tonight in the time that we have that I hope rings a bell. I mean, everyone's different, and I don't have the authority or the absolute authority in anything, but I have some ideas around marriage and how I found it and how it's helped me. I've been married for a really long time. Me and my wife had actually been going out for 33 years, and so I've learned a few things. I've also realized what I don't know, and that is a lot. In fact, there's no... Let me help you with that, actually, straight away. Getting to know someone, we're just getting to know each other. Get used to that. You're going to be getting to know them till you pass away. Yes? Is anyone married for a very long time? 20, 30, 40? Does everyone agree with that? Like, you're never there. You're never knowing. She's actually pointing at her husband. This guy is a crazy over there. So that's all of us. So I'm gonna have a go at looking at some of this stuff, and I may make mistakes, and please just offer me some grace if you don't agree with everything I'm saying, but my heart is, I hope, in the right place. Okay, so the first scripture I want to look at is this one. It's from Genesis. There it is. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And we say our, that is God speaking of himself, the Trinity. You know, so people have always been amazed why there was a plural there. Let us make God in our image. In fact, from some of the original Jewish scholars, that was always a, what does that mean? Why is there a plural? But we know from our Christian faith that the Father, Son, Spirit is a community that's one. And so it's beautiful. There's already a community there. I love that idea. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, that's birds, fowl, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God is basically saying everything that exists then. everything. And under the sea is actually talks about, it just goes on. And these days it would be an over cars and over electricity, Eskom. Let us have authority over everything. Okay, so just certain, there's nothing left out. That God has given us dominion. Now, for men, I think we have sometimes got into trouble with the word dominion, because that's where the word dominate comes from. You know, whoa, I'm the king. I'm the main guy, you know, I'm the numzan, whatever. I'm the, yeah. But can I just make a suggestion that the tone around this is not actually that. You could very easily substitute the word responsibility. Give them responsibility over that. And doesn't that change our the mission? Let us look after. Let us care for. Hey? Because dominion, that's where the word dominate comes from. You know, I want to dominate. And that's the negative side. That's the cruel side. And it's sometimes where, yeah, it's not great. Responsibility. You see, responsibility changes this idea from what I want, right, to what the world and others need. So if I'm responsible for my children, I worry about what they need. How can I help? Can you see that it's a very different tone? And it makes sense. Responsibility for the world. God gave us the world. Do you know this, the expression, the meek shall inherit the earth? Have you heard that? The meek. Men, how have you found that? What is your idea of meek? Yeah, weak. Did you say weak? That's what I thought. Also, but Chami, you must look it up. It doesn't really mean that. But I thought that too. Sounds like a naff. Sorry, I don't know what the other, you know, in my day they call things naff. I don't know. Like a little bit non-committal. Like, oh, you're a bit weird. I don't know what the word, I can't even think of another word. But it just means you're not really involved. No, but meek doesn't mean that. Meek, I've realized, in this context means reserved strength, holding back, restrain. Somebody who doesn't react impulsively. There is control. In fact, this idea of a horse. You know when a horse is being ridden and it's strong, but it's walking under the control of something. It has, so there's a reserved strength in that. And suddenly that started to make sense. Just, you know when... I am ADD, sorry, Salva, I flip around. I'll get back to the point eventually. But you know when something really irritates you and you think, well, you know, the keyboard, they call us keyboard warriors now. Oh, I'm going to send that teacher a message. The way they spoke to my child. Woo, here it goes. And you say, I won't send it. And in the morning you read it again, you go, thank you, Lord, I didn't send that. That's being meek. Yes, because we take it and we say, you know, when they say when you're angry, you make the best speech you ever regret. And, you know, meek is that, considered. And I'm very happy with meek. I'm not that happy with weak, but because it just didn't fit with me. So meek, act with restraint. Yeah. Now, let's move on to the next scripture. It'll sort of start to tie in. I hope it will. Now, this is after Adam and Eve ate the apple. And they're being told to leave. Well, they're getting kicked out of the garden. And God is speaking to Eve at this stage, and he says, and I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Wow. Good times. Hey? Who would have thought? Men and children, oh, they're going to be the problem. Hey? Nothing's really changed. Anyway, why I find this interesting is because really your desire will be for your husband. A lot of the biblical scholars say that it's not like I'll just love him. It's I will want to control him. That'll be my security. I will use him to get what I need. And is it not evident today? Do we not still see these patterns living out? The domination, control, that often these are the patterns that we use in our relationships. Does it feel like look on social media, it's just full of people trying to get their way. I mean, social media is full of six packs. I don't know where these people get the time, but you know, whatever. Who here wishes that her husband or boyfriend, let's put that there, would just do what they're told? No need to put your hand up. You can just say it internally. Okay? Okay? See, power being used to dominate is the earthly way. It's after the fall. This is what God was actually being prophetic there, saying, this is what's going to happen. Because you're no longer, you've chosen not to be with me. You've chosen it. It's not the fall, it's the jump, you know. People call leaving the Garden of Eden the fall, like it was an accident. But God said, don't eat the apple, and we ate it. Well, Adam and Eve ate it, and then, so they basically chose that. I mean, obviously not me. I'm close to perfect. But you understand? I mean, it's funny how these words become part of our normal speak, but actually, in the truth, there was choice in that, right? So, Jesus' way, God's way, has always been to serve. Serve. Don't dominate. Serve. Come underneath. In Ephesians 5:33, I love this. He says, however, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. And wife, you must respect her husband. Now, when I read this, I thought, yo, that's a short list. Is that it? So I must love, she must respect. Is that it? What do you think, guys? You're scared to answer. You know, let me ask you this. You know, if you have a problem where you tend to run into walls with your head. You don't, obviously. I'm just saying, if you did, and I started talking about how, you know, I'm going to make coffee for you. Do you want sugar? You see, well, that's got nothing to do with running into the wall, is it? No. So if there's a problem, we talk about the problem. Yes? It's almost like God is saying, never mind that. There's lots of other things that are there, but this is your default. This is where you want to go. Men, you want to dominate. Don't. Love. Remember to love. Don't go back there. Love your wife. And in that day and age in the Greco-Roman world, I mean, you must understand what a mind-blowing idea this was. Women were seen as possessions, you know, really second-class citizens. Jesus said, you must put them above you. You must treasure them like they're your own body. And to the woman, he said, respect your husband. Don't try and manipulate. Don't go there. It's funny that God says, doesn't say, don't love your husband. Because when we think about it, that's not the love isn't the problem. You can love someone but still manipulate them. Oh, I love him. He's so nice. Now go and do what I told you over there. Just manipulate. You see? Loving, caring is not a problem for most women. Sorry to say that. I am generalizing, and there are exceptions. Please don't shoot me for one comment that I make. But generally, men tend to want to dominate. God says, don't do it. Don't go there. Women, don't manipulate. There's another way. Love each other. Love. Sacrifice. Serve. Okay? And I see that, you know, my kids are always telling me that I'm so uncool. I've got three daughters, so you, they got a lot to say. But, like, because life is not the same when you were, whatever, 20. And these things you say and think about are not cool, they tell me. So in only, like, 30 years, you know, things have gone out of vogue. But this stuff, guys, Jesus' way, never goes out of vogue, guys. Yes? This is always true. This is eternally. Jesus looking right into the marrow and saying, is this not your default setting? I'm challenging you on that. It's amazing. Amen. Thank you. Now, this, I don't think this is a list of requirements. It's a warning not to go back. If you wish to keep your wife, you must give up. Surrender. Not give up to your wife, but give up to the Lord. It's a miracle that we managed to stay together. I always find people, well, can I tell you that when I first got married, I was doing well. Amazingly, I was doing theater. Me and my wife were working together. We were getting a critical acclaim. And, you know, life seemed to be quite simple. You know, work, we had two small children. And then one day I arrived back. I was in George. I was doing a show down there. And I got back in a plane to find out that our youngest child had been killed in our driveway, that the car had rolled back and run over her. And everything I knew about the world changed. I just couldn't believe how from 1 hour to the next, I didn't even know who I was, actually. I didn't even know you could feel like that. But my wife was there for me. I was desolate. We were both desolate. But Lisa ran straight to the Lord, my wife. And also to church. She didn't just pray at home. She felt that during that time, the Lord had spoken to her. During the time of our daughter's death, the Lord had spoken to her. And she observed Sunday. She was part of a prayer group. Me, I said, that's great for her. That's wonderful for her. I am not going to pretend that I believe this because my wife. I was very happy for her. But I said, no. I'm happy for her. I'm sure it's all great. I'll stay at home. And for 6 years, I just slowly died. And yet my wife prayed for me and spoke to me and loved me, even though I was doing a lot of things wrong. When I think back, the Lord must love me because he gave me an incredible wife. Eventually, one day, she came and said, I was in the bath. I'll never forget this. I was having a bath. And she came to me and said, you know, we found out at church today that if I go to church, that's the mom, every week, the kids will see it as a hobby. It's a hobby. It's something that mom does. If the father goes to church, even twice a year, the kids say, oh, this might be actually true. What do you think about that? I said, that's nice. He says, well, will you come to church? I said, of course I'll come to church. It's no problem. I'll come to church. I mean, I think God is real. I mean, not the way they talk about it, but you know, it's real and all. You know that. You know that vibe. Anyway, I got to a church. Just so you know, I'll give you a story a little bit similar to this. Very, like, quite cosmopolitan, a city church. Lights, sound desk. Thingy, and I'm in the theater business, right? And I'm thinking, yeah, I know how much that costs. And that, woo, and that, and that thing. So when the baskets went round, I was doing the old dinosaur arms. No, carry on, carry on. You know what I mean? Yeah, oh, I get it now. This is what it's about, hey? Yeah, this is what they do. They get you in there, tell you Jesus loves you. Next thing, you got no more cash. But you know, the incredible thing was, I couldn't work it out. I couldn't work it out because it seemed to be such, like, I'm an actor, so I was looking for the play, you know, the bad acting. But I couldn't find it. I saw the weird people preaching. The oak was quite a big-looking oak who was the preacher. Looked more like the bouncer, but he was very good, and he really spoke to me. And I thought, this oak, he's really got a lot to say about life. And eventually, you know, I'm the first guy in the car on Sunday. Come, we're going to be late. Let's go. Because I just found the flavor of the church incredible. Incredible. Until eventually I was sitting in church. It wasn't an altar call when I gave my life. And I'll get back to the main subject in a second. I was just sitting there. And literally, they could have been talking, could have been doing the announcements. And God basically said to me, well, he gave me a vision, first of all, of myself. You know, like a car accident where you're hanging on the edge of a cliff. Like the car's crashed. And you see that movie, look down, some ogre's like, there's a little branch off the edge of a cliff and he's hanging on. That was me. And there was a drop. And I was just hanging there. I could even see. I was so tired. And God spoke to me and said, let go. I'll catch you. I was like, no, maybe I'm losing my mind here. I said, but Lord, if you're not real and I let go and I just let all this out, I'm just going to crash and burn, you know. He said, you let go, I'll catch you. And that was the day I made a commitment. I said, Lord, please. And as I let go, I felt my life return to me, you know, restored. Like that infilling of grace and love. And lots of sorrow that had been held back was coming, like a real purge. And my life has not been the same. And the reason that I bring that up is because the Lord restored my marriage. Without that, I don't think I would be together with my wife. I don't think I was just so dry, bitter, angry. But it's deep, you know. Could say the funny thing, do the thing, but there's this bitterness deep inside. And the truth is, guys, that any relationship you're going to do, any of them, we need the Lord. You cannot do this alone. You cannot say, yeah, I'll do this, I'll see how it goes. It takes a miracle to live well with someone else intimately. You know? And for the people who are married and for married for a long time, you know this. That when the Lord is close to you, everything works. It's just like life. This space, the bubble is big. And when you go through those dry seasons, sometimes you feel very tight. You feel like everything is closed. And for the young people who are thinking about getting married is the best decision I ever made. I made. I also obviously became a Christian, and I don't add that in there because God drew me to himself. I saw that later after I made the decision that God had been leading me there the whole time, that wasn't purely my decision. Sure, at the end I said, okay, but really the Lord had brought me to that place. And if you're thinking about having a relationship with someone that is meaningful and lasting and where you get to learn about life with each other, you are going to need a lot of help, man. Woo! Tim Keller, I don't know if you know who Tim Keller is. He's an older preacher. He recently passed. All my friends are passing. Him and his wife were being interviewed, and she said, when you think about getting married, ask yourself, is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life solving problems with? How's that? Because, not because that's the only stuff you do, but that's what we get to do. Life comes at you. Anyone who says, my life, you know, it's just, you know, it's just great. We're here and we're traveling. And you're like, hey, what a life. Then you meet him. You're like, wow. You know people like that? You're like, you get close, like it's all great on the inside, just insecurity and, you know, and the Insta life, guys, doesn't exist. Maybe it exists for a week or a month, but it's not real. It's not real. To really get to know people, you've got to get to know them. In fact, all the juicy stuff is the bad stuff. You know, that they let you see. It's the best stuff. That's the stuff that connects you. You know, the stuff that you go through to get, like, oh, I wonder, can I say this? The night before my wedding, my wife went out to the hen's party or whatever that thing is, and she was left, and she got some crazy family, it doesn't matter, and she had to drive home, and she got caught drinking and driving, was put in jail. And I had to go bail her out in time to get married. And she said, well, after this is like, you know, you must really love me. I said, well, you know, we've paid for everything, let's get there in time. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. It's a great, I'm not saying it's, but it's great. You know, we want real. I mean, everyone's so much fake, but I believe that only the Lord allows you to be vulnerable enough to live a life worth living. You know, this thing of you've got to put your best foot forward. I don't know about that, guys. I'm going to put a few things up because some of these might be triggers. But we need to be vulnerable. all of us, men and women, we need to trust the Lord to help us in this area. If you can just put up the next slide, yeah. Don't be passive, guys, in your relationships. Be active in changing things in your relationship that aren't working. If you know something's wrong, don't say, oh, the Lord will fix it. Yes, but you can help. God doesn't want you to be passive. Yeah, he wants you to have faith. But we move as if God is going to work. Yes. So here's a few things that you can try doing to surrender power in your relationship, to trust the other person. Are we ready? If any of these sort of make you go, it's probably something you have to think about, okay? How are you with listening? I have friends, they never shut up. When they just talk through you, you know? And you want to say, why don't you be quiet for a while? You'd have more friends. Sorry, I'm a comedian. Don't. This is why tomorrow they're going to have another pastor. It's great. Try listening, okay? Next one. Practice not having the last word, especially if you're a clever person. I'm a comedian. I get paid to have the last word. So I practice it sometimes with my kids. They say something I really don't like, and I go, ah. Training, guys. We're training ourselves. Yeah? Try that. If that works for you, try that. Gratitude. How are you doing with gratitude? Gratitude is such a gate opener to so many things. Get up in the morning and say, hey, look what I got. List them. Just do it as an exercise. Change the way. Get rid of, there's a log jam. These things, sometimes removing one helps everything to move downstream. You know, they get all these logs get logged, clogged in a river. Okay, it's an old-fashioned thing. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Love by decision. Make a decision to love, guys. This is it. Love is where it's at. Underneath everything is love. In fact, the whole foundation of the universe, God says, I am love. That's it. That means love is not a feeling, it's a decision as well. In our relationship, we say, I love you by decision. I love you. And that's not going to change if it's a decision. It doesn't mean that we put up with abuse. We still have good, healthy boundaries, but loving. You can love someone to tell them, I can't do that anymore. That's also loving. Love by decision. And then lastly, good at forgiving. Guys, I want to challenge you, and I'm late because I talk too much. None of this works without us having the correct view of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is the cleverest. You know, if you ask people, who's the cleverest person that ever lived? People don't necessarily go, Jesus. They go, Einstein or Bill Gates or whatever. But Jesus is the cleverest person and the most loving. And he's big enough to solve all of our problems eventually. But he's training us because we're going to be on this journey for eternity, which I believe is a long time. So we have some time. Yes? So that's the good news. So let's start now. Let's have a fantastic view of our Father who enables us to live a life worth living now in a marriage that allows you to practice what we're going to be doing in heaven. I'm so pleased that I was here with you people. I hope some of it's made sense. I'd like to finish off by saying a prayer for us. Would you mind? Father, Lord Jesus, when I look at your children, look at this room, Father. So many different types of people gathered in your name. It is so amazing how it doesn't matter what background we're from, doesn't matter what language we speak, that you speak our language. You speak to our hearts in the language of love. Father, give us the bravery to live this life as you set it out for us, sacrificially, the way you sacrifice for us. I pray for each and every person here tonight, Lord, that you would bless them, Lord. Bless them in every relationship and allow us to put you at the center because you make everything work. I thank you now for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me here.